This time on Culture Far, we're back in the company of National Hunt Racing's greatest loss to comedy, Aisling B, daughter of a Kildare racing family who opted for the hurdles of stand-up comedy. This time I talked to Aisling about comedians' increasing use of Twitter to field test their material and about how living in two-channel TV Ireland gave her a usefully distorted picture of the world of comedy.
It's very important to gig when you're a stand-up. And when I started out, I didn't really realise how important that was. I remember I have a friend, Holly Walsh, who's a stand-up, and she wrote a show I was in called Dead Boss with Sharon Horgan. And Holly was... While we were shooting that, she was like, oh, I have to go out and gig tonight. And she just spent 12 hours on set. And I was... This was kind of just around the time I just started stand-up or even thinking about it properly. And she was like, oh, yeah, but if I don't go out, if I don't gig in the week, I'll lose it in my head. And I didn't really understand what she meant. But after that, I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to book up 4 gigs a night. And I started gigging 4 or 5 times a week, no matter what was going on. And it does make you better and it makes you more match fit. And it is like exercising, but you're exercising your brain. Gigging is like constant Sudoku. It's just you get, and you do also come up with little bits in your head. And people write very differently, but I write a lot on stage. So I have an idea, I go out, I test it with an audience, you bring it back and you hone it. But I find it quite hard to write and then bring it ready to a stage. You have to sort of gig it a lot to get it good. Almost like tell a story to a lot of friends before you know exactly how the story goes.
And you sometimes use Twitter in the same way, almost you're trying out material.
Yeah, very much so. The good thing about Twitter is that you only have 140 characters and you can see how much I talk. And so there's a lot of flab in a lot of my chat. So what's good about Twitter is you can't send a tweet until you've narrowed it down to 140 characters. So it makes you think more wisely about where you put your words and how your words are said, because I ramble a lot. I ramble around more than an old man in a field. And so to kind of hone in my words, Twitter can be a nice little workshop, a sort of chipping away, it chips away at it until you've got the little Michelangelo statue underneath a big block of marble. Because sometimes I go out with just a big block of marble and expect people to see a man. The hard thing about, I suppose, writing and comedy is a lot of people will have a similar idea around the same time. You know, Shakespeare's done all the love, tragedy, hate. So a lot of work has been done. So you just have to make sure that you know it's from your own point of view at the start. But say if there's a play on words in something in the news, it's most likely going to have been said somewhere before. But at least when you put it on Twitter, you kind of go, Bagsy! Nobody's policing it, but if you're the one who says it on telly, then it doesn't matter if someone else does it. But there is often crossover, and so you might see a stand-up with a similar idea, and that's quite hard when if your idea is only half developed and they've already got theirs sorted. I went to see a comedian recently who did at the Apollo an idea, and even though mine is different and it's from a different point of view because I'd have, you know, I'm coming from it at a girl's perspective, it is the same subject, and I'm going, oh, but that's, and I'd been working on that sort of for 4 months, and you go, oh, well, just have to sort of bin that idea. And there's more things in the world to talk about, but when you've been working on something and going, ooh, I can make a good 5 to 7 minutes out of that, it's tough. It's like someone coming up with a different product. I mean, the things that even you're talking about now in this interview happen in every job. They happen in design and housing design and architecture and painting. Someone's just painted or taken a photograph or an idea for a photography exhibition or a business idea, and you don't know until it's out in the bag somewhere else and you have to sort of throw away and start again.
That's so sad!
Here's a tip should you wish to appear exotic. Walk around with a giant Toblerone underneath your arm. It's like, oh, someone's been away.
I suppose I don't know what it's like to be a funny man, so I'm sure they have a great time, but I only know what it's like to be myself and be a funny woman. Don't sound very funny now, but it's very rainy on a Tuesday morning. I was never looking for images of women because, again, I grew up in a single-parent family with all women, so it's just never occurred to me that there'd be any difference. And there isn't. I'm probably a good test case. I grew up in a all-female family with a mother who is my mother and my father. I have 7 aunties on one side and 2 on the other, and not very many uncles. I went to an all-girls school, was taught by all women until I was 18. And so if you were to say to me, so you never got to have a laugh until you were 18 when you met your first man, I'd say, go and jump in a river. We only had 2 television stations growing up, and the only comedians doing stand-up on stage were Tommy Tiernan and Deirdre O'Kane. So when I was growing up, the 2 people I liked the most, because they were the only people I saw, were Tommy Tiernan and Deirdre O'Kane and Father Ted. One of the biggest characters in Father Ted was Paulie McGlynn. And so I literally never thought about it until people started telling me, and why aren't there more women? I was going, there are, there are loads. All of my friends are hilarious. Some of them are men, a lot of them are women. And they're hilarious. They're the funniest people I've ever met. And that's that shouldn't be a weird freak thing. And again, so 50% of the stand-ups I saw growing up were female. And Deirdre O'Kane, someone I looked up to hugely now. When I first, one of my first big jobs was in Dead Boss. Sharon Horgan wrote that. Sharon Horgan is an Irish actress based over here who I'm crazy about personally and work-wise.
Just as well, because when you Google you, Wikipedia suggests we might also like Sharon Horgan.
Well, you would, you would. But yeah, so it just didn't occur to me. And Deirdre O'Kane was a massive influence on me. She was my favourite stand-up, not female stand-up. She was my favourite stand-up. And I know Deirdre now. And like, it was one of the best moments in my life when she came to the preview of my Edinburgh show. I was so excited. And similarly with Pauline, and what was so interesting with Pauline was that I thought she was a woman in her 50s from Father Ted, and then I saw her, I think, on The Late Late Show, and she was beautiful and glamorous, but she'd created a character for herself that was hilarious, and she has an equal footing in that character. She's not the token female in it. She's one of the lead characters in the show. And I'm sure Graeme Linehan would never have thought of her as a token in it. And that's how we have to think. How can this character be funnier in terms of being a person?
I was talking to Aisling B there, and you can follow her on Twitter at WeMissB, though she's not that wee at all. You can follow Culturefile at CulturefilePod, which is as accurate a Twitter name as we could possibly imagine.